You have your copy of the Scriptures. Trade you. Thank you. If you all will turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 through 17, please. Jesus is speaking, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Brethren, I just want to today, because we're going to have the Lord's Supper in a few moments, I just want to bring to us some short devotional thoughts from this passage of Scripture. Because we've come today, this afternoon, to remember and to celebrate our Lord's sacrifice. His body sacrificed, His blood shed on the cross of Calvary, Jesus, our faithful high priest, making atonement for his people. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus come to the earth and make atonement for his people? Well, we could answer that in a wide spectrum of ways, because salvation encompasses so much. But I want to focus today on one aspect of why he came. And I want to first think about, what was it that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden when he sinned? What did he lose? Well, again, maybe he lost several things, but one of the things that he lost was his relationship with God. He had a perfect, harmonious, uninterrupted relationship with God. Wow. You ever just think about that? You ever just think about what that would have been like? No sorrow, no suffering. suffering, no sin, just perfect harmony, peace, and joy with God. Well, all that went out the window when he ate the fruit. And so what did he lose? He lost that relationship. So in terms of Jesus, in terms of what we're going to celebrate in just a few moments, one aspect of that is that Jesus came to restore the relationship that we have with God. And we can think of a passage, one of my favorite passages, is 2 Corinthians 5. You know, in verse 17, it says that therefore now we are, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And then over the next three verses, he uses the word reconciliation or reconciled five times. And if you think of that, think about that word, reconciliation, that pretty much epitomizes what Jesus has done in terms of our relationship. Because reconciliation implies that initially there was union. There was a relationship. But there's been division. There's been separation. But now, somehow, the two have been brought back together. They have been reconciled. And the passage says that we have been given the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. And so that's what God has come to do. He's come to, or Jesus has come to do. He's come to bring reconciliation. And we could say that He desires and He's determined and He's covenantally committed to having a relationship with us. And Calvary is that covenantal commitment. Because it's at Calvary that His body was sacrificed, that His blood was shed. Calvary is God's covenant commitment to that relationship. Now, in John 14:18, prior to John 15, Jesus said this. You know, the disciples were concerned. They knew He was leaving. And obviously, they'd walked with Him for 3 years, and now He's going to leave. And they really didn't understand what was going on, but they were getting worried. And Jesus made this statement in verse 18. He said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. He was emphasizing that there was going to be an ongoing relationship. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. And He did. And John 15 is a protracted description of that relationship. And the imagery that he uses is vine and branch. And when we think of vine and branch, first and foremost, we think of attachment. There's a relationship there. There's union there. There's attachment there. That's fundamentally what it is. And there's this flow of life from the vine into the branch so that the branch can bear fruit. And that's the essence of that relationship. But what we want to just remember today is that in nature, the vine and the branch, that occurs because of creation. But in God's kingdom, when we are attached to Christ, it occurs because of redemption. It occurs because of what Christ did for us. And again, that's what we're going to celebrate in a few moments. The remembering of what Christ did for us in reestablishing that relationship produced by redemption. Now, I just want to mention three things from our text today, just by way of devotion, and hopefully these things will warm our hearts and prepare us to celebrate and remember. But the first thing I want to mention is God's love, because verse 9 says this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. very simply, abide in my love. When we abide in Jesus, we abide in His love. And it's a relationship that is saturated with love. Now, what we need to be encouraged with today, I think, is the fact that it's not just a general, generic kind of love, but it's a focused, specific, personal kind of love that God has set upon each and every one of you. Because what does the Scripture say? What does John 15 say? You didn't choose me. I chose you. This was a love of divine choice that God set upon us. He chose each one of you. If you're in Christ, He chose you personally. There wasn't just this generic smorgasbord of love that He spread out there and said, okay, whoever wants to come to it, come to it. Come and have it. Come and partake. No. It was more specific than that. It was more focused than that. He chose you to have that relationship. And it's a relationship that is permeated with love. Can we look at one passage? Can we turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter, quickly? 1 John, chapter 4. Verse 9 and 10. And this is a verse that talks about God's love, and it says this, beginning with verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. There's that abiding relationship, that we might live through Him. Verse 10, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, this verse brings together this whole thing of redemption and love and this abiding relationship. It's all occurred. Why? Because God sent His Son to the earth and His Son was a propitiation for our sins. And what does it allow to happen? It allows us to have a relationship with Him, a relationship that is saturated and permeated with His love, brethren. It's His love focused specifically on each one of us here that we enjoy. Wow. I think that's just a wonderful thought. And as Tim was preaching this morning, you know, he talked about the suffering. But it made me think of Romans, the 8th chapter, a little bit later on in Romans. And I just want you to listen to these two verses. This is Romans 8, 38 and 39. But listen to what this says. Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Tim preached this morning that all kinds of things, we live in a fallen world, and all kinds of things are going to come our way. And Paul just described many of them. But he's saying to us, I don't care what they are, none of them can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, that's the love that we have. That's the love in which we abide. And it's amazing. It's awesome when we contemplate it. Tim said, told me last night, he said, we're made to be awed. And we are. We like to be awed. We like to see things where we go, wow. Where our senses are just overwhelmed. Hey, I want to tell you, this is worth being awed by. God's love. It's worth being awed by. And that's the very love that permeates this abiding relationship between the vine and the branches that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, secondly, I want to think about God's Word. Because in verse 7 of John 15, back to John 15, Jesus says this, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you." Calvary makes it possible for God's Word to abide in us. And it's God's Word that brings us knowledge and understanding of the glories of the salvation that God has provided in this relationship that we have with Him. What did He tell us to do this afternoon? He said, do this in remembrance of me. These are not just words, brethren, but these are living words. These are living words that impart to us knowledge and understanding of the cross, of the blood of our Savior, of sin, of repentance, of faith, of heaven, of hell. We know these things because of what the Word imparts to us. But listen, we go every Saturday night, virtually every Saturday night, we go to Sutton Homes and we talk to people about these very things, about the cross, about the blood of Christ, about sin, about salvation, about heaven, about hell. But it doesn't, or at least it hasn't to this point. It hasn't penetrated. It doesn't abide in them. Because the cross of Calvary is just a story to them. It's not a reality. To us, it's a reality. It's real. It's alive. And when we come to God's Word is alive. And it fills us with the knowledge of realities that no human eye can see, no human ear can hear, no human mind can conceive. But we see these realities. We hear them. We understand them with our mind. Why? Because Calvary has made it possible for the words of Christ to abide in us, in this relationship that we have. And they do abide in us. And so this thing we call the Lord's Supper, it's not just a dead religious ritual that we observe. It's our faith. Faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Christ, that Word that is in us, that's alive. It's our faith, living and dynamic and full of energy, moving us to celebrate here on earth what we will celebrate forever in heaven. And we're able to do these things. We're able to understand these things because of the Word that abides in us and brings us understanding and insight into these great treasures that God gives to His people. So we have the love of God, we have the Word of God. I want to finish this afternoon by simply talking about the joy of God. In verse 11, Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Wow. Now, it's amazing how often that the Bible brings together suffering and joy. Tim this morning made it very, very plain that suffering is to be a part of our lives. But brethren, I want you to look, just look at the next chapter. Look at chapter 16, verse 21. Suffering is something that Jesus talked about. Suffering is something the Bible talks about. But listen to what he says concerning joy in chapter 16, verse 21. "When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you." Brethren, they can't take our joy from us because they can't take Christ from us. That's the relationship that we have. That's the union that we have with Christ Himself. And it's out of that union, it's out of that relationship that joy comes. Now, are we going to suffer? Yes. Are we going to go through trials? Yes. But there's an abiding joy. Piper calls it an invincible joy because Christ is invincible. And when we're rooted in Christ, we're rooted in something that is invincible. Jesus died to secure an eternal relationship that produces an invincible joy in His people. The joy is invincible because Christ is invincible. Tim said it again this morning. Where are we headed? Ultimately, where are we headed? To glory. There will be a day when the suffering will end. But even now, when we do suffer, we're reminded that we're headed for glory. And what does Peter, 1 Peter 1:8, what does he call joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a joy, brethren. There's a joy in the midst of all we face here. And it's rooted in Christ. And Christ is ours. He's ours because that's what He chose to do. That's the relationship that He came to this earth to establish personally, individually, with each one of us here that names the name of Christ. You have that relationship. You have that joy. And so, this afternoon, we come to celebrate the relationship and the reality of God's love that is ours, that is shed abroad in our hearts, God's Word that abides in us, that gives us understanding of all these great treasures, and God's joy that is ever with us, even in the midst of suffering, and that is real and alive. So, let us remember and let us celebrate.